GDP per capita in 2050. By Hauke Hillebrandt. Latest draft here. Abstract. Here, I present GDP per capita forecasts of major economies until 2050. Since GDP per capita is the best generalized predictor of many important variables, such as welfare, GDP forecasts can give us a more concrete picture of what the world might look like in just 27 years. The key claim here is, even if AI does not cause transformative growth, our business-as-usual near future is still surprisingly different from today. Heading. Results. In recent history, we've seen unprecedented economic growth and rises in living standards. Consider this graph. There's an image here in the text. How will living standards improve as GDP per capita, GDP cap, rises? Here, I show data that projects GDP cap until 2050. Forecasting GDP per capita is a crucial undertaking as it strongly correlates with welfare indicators like consumption, leisure, inequality, and mortality. These forecasts make the future more concrete and give us a better sense of what the world will look like soon. Abstract thoughts about utopia generate little emotional energy. I find these forecasts more plastic and informative because GDP per cap is highly predictive of welfare. GDP per cap's generalized predictive power helps us paint a more vivid picture of what the world will look like soon. The business-as-usual near future suggested by the data below could be seen as a soft lower bound on how much the world will change. And yet, this world still seems radically different from today. Since the figures below are adjusted for purchasing power parity, PPP, you can compare the GDP cap of a poorer country in 2050 with the GDP cap of a richer country in 2020. For instance, between now and 2050, China's GDP per cap will go from $19,000 to $43,000, which is similar to France's today. And so, by 2050, 1.3 billion Chinese people might enjoy a lifestyle not dissimilar to that of a typical French person today. These GDP per cap are roughly 3x higher than the median, that is typical, income, due to income inequality. Instead of downward adjusting them in our head, we can also read them as an approximation of the typical combined consumption three-person household. And so, we can still look at these figures and imagine the median household income in Japan today and in China in 2050 to be roughly $40,000. Heading. Discussion. In the GDP per cap forecasts above, one thing jumps out. In just 27 years, the world might be fundamentally changed. I find it illustrative to imagine yourself being 27 years older in a world where China's GDP is the largest in the world, and India's is as big as the US's. Indonesia's economy is the fourth largest. Some large poorer countries like Nigeria still have relatively low incomes, roughly $10,000 per cap. India's GDP per cap will grow from $8,000 to $26,000, like Mexico today, and China's from $19,000 to $43,000, like Japan today. A billion people in big rich countries, for example US, Western Europe, will be as rich as the very few millions of people living in small very rich countries today, roughly $80,000 per cap like in Switzerland, Norway. Relative to population, these countries might have big influence on the world via science, where rich countries have more scientific papers per person, or aid, for example the UK's aid budget is only 2x that of Norway's despite a 10x larger population. As world GDP doubles, the global average GDP cap also doubles from roughly $12,000 to roughly $25,000, which is still fairly poor, but getting towards an income that frugal people can live on in rich countries. Most humans will have relatively good healthcare, education, and travel, and high-quality food, work opportunities, and access to global knowledge. The recent book The World in 2050 argues that in 2050, two-thirds of the world's population will be middle-class or rich. A richer world might also have lower birth rates and fewer people, more democracy, more gender equality and other social and political rights, greater life satisfaction, enhanced social trust. Generally, in 2050 we should expect the wealth gap between richer and poorer countries to be smaller. Poorer countries have been catching up with richer ones since the 90s, but see. They grow faster than rich countries because of fast catch-up or copy-and-paste growth, whereas richer countries at the frontier can't grow as fast anymore since ideas are getting harder to find. This leads to convergence in countries' wealth. Looking at this in action. Just 27 years ago, Lithuania's and Estonia's GDP cap, PPP adjusted, were roughly one-third of Japan's, but, surprisingly, now they're the same. We might be surprised again in 27 years. Crucially, the changes ahead seem radically more dramatic than the changes between 27 years ago and now. Subheading: Values and Culture. What will people's values be in 2050? Since 1980, the West has moved away from obedient values towards emancipative values and became more internally homogeneous. Overall, the world is moving towards Western values, but non-Western nations are adopting different values at different speeds. Concretely, nations are de-emphasizing religion and moving from valuing obedience to valuing independence relatively quickly, but they are slower to adopt Western secular rational and self-expression values, such as beliefs about homosexuality, abortion, divorce, prostitution, euthanasia, childhood obedience, and suicide. This leads to convergence of values in some areas and divergence in others. Much of the variation in values between societies can be explained by GDP cap differences and boils down to two broad dimensions. 1. Traditionalist versus secular rational. Traditionalists value their country, God, authority, obedience, and marriage. As countries' wealth increases, citizens' sense of existential security increases, moving them towards secular rational values. 2. Survival versus self-expression. Survival values prioritize security over liberty. Those with survival values tend to be more homophobic, uninterested in political action, distrustful of outsiders, and less happy. As people transition from industrial to knowledge societies, their sense of agency increases and they move towards self-expression values. Since richer people tend to favor secular rational and self-expression values over traditionalist and survivalist values, we should expect people in 2050 to be more secular and more interested in self-expression than people today. GDP growth has been argued to lead to greater opportunity, tolerance of diversity, social mobility, commitment to fairness, and dedication to democracy. But also more meat consumption. In 2050, people will be older, on average. From 1970 to 2022, the global median age has already increased from 20 to 30 years. It's projected to further increase to 36 by 2050. Unexpectedly, Chinese people will be older than people in the US and the EU. People become slightly more conservative as they age. In The World in 2050, McRae argues that ideas will flow more from east to west. China and other Asian nations' technological advancements will contribute to broader Easternization, signifying a global power shift toward the East, just as the world was Europeanized in the 19th century and Americanized in the 20th century. Now, in the 21st century, due to fast catch-up and population growth, the world is being Asianized. McRae also claims that the Anglosphere will become even more important. English-speaking countries will make up 40% of the world's GDP, and populous countries on many continents will be English-speaking Americas, US, Africa, Nigeria, Asia, India, Oceania, Australia, Europe, British Isles. Subheading: Growth could be much faster. As mentioned above, this data offers a soft lower bound on how much the world could change over the next 26 years. In contrast, however, some have speculated that future growth could be extremely fast. For example, McCaskill writes, "Given that growth rates have increased 30x since the agricultural era, it's not crazy to think that they might increase 10x again. But if they did, the world economy would double every 2.5 years. Or relatedly, Karnofsky's A Most Important Century hypothesis claims, 1. The far future is very unfamiliar and could come surprisingly fast. 2. AI might drive a productivity boom this century that could advance AI even further and lead to a long-lasting, galaxy-wide civilization that could be anything from very utopian to very dystopian. 3. We might shape this transition and massively impact many future people if we can make sense of the situation enough to find helpful actions. But we aren't ready for this. 4. Despite these seemingly too wild to take seriously claims, there are many reasons we could be living in wild times, and we should be ready for anything. But here, in the business-as-usual near-future scenario, nothing has to go zoom. This can go on, perhaps with only modest innovation, even without a transformative AI productivity boom, and even if ideas are getting harder to find or Chinese growth slows down. Such a future might even be recognizable to us today because we know what rich countries look like. I am not arguing that the business-as-usual scenario is more likely than a transformative AI scenario that makes the world economy double every 2.5 years. I am merely making a weaker claim by suggesting that this lower bound a world is already surprisingly different from today. We could call it wild. Indeed, it might be this intermediate step of continued business-as-usual growth that will lead to transformative AI, see below. This means that GDP cap projections can also help us get a better sense of what the world could look like in the lead-up to transformative AI. And we have a better sense of how far the world will change, since we know how countries changed when they went from $10,000 to $40,000 per capita GDP. Experts suggest that there's more than a 10% chance of transformative AI by 2036 and a roughly 50% chance by 2060. In the absence of catastrophes, it seems like that the inverse probability, 50% chance that we will be in live in this non-TAI world until 2060. Figure from. Two trajectories. Increase followed by plateau. Or stasis at close to the current level. Subheading. Implications for AI. GDP forecasts inform forecasts of global challenges, for example, climate models depend on growth. For instance, both OpenPhil and Epoch estimate that the most expensive AI training run will reach some limit based on economic constraints, that is 1% of US GDP. I'll now discuss how AI might influence future GDP ECAP figures, and vice versa. AI causes growth. Most top economists think that AI such as ChatGPT have a measurable impact on national innovation, and many agree that AI will substantially boost EU-US per capita income over the next 30 years, perhaps more than the internet. Forecasts suggest that AI may increase the US growth rate by 0.6 to 3.6% until 2040 and annual global GDP by 7%. Other economists argue against this and estimate an upper bound on GDP gains might be more modest at roughly 1.7% over the next 10 years. Growth might speed up AI development. If India's GDP cap really grows from $8,000 to $26,000, equivalent to Russia's today, and China's from $19,000 to $43,000, equivalent to Japan's today, and if India and China have, relative to their population, as many researchers as Russia and Japan do today, then that would double today's global research force of 10M. Demographics suggests that China will have roughly 11M college graduates, of which roughly half were STEM graduates per year until 2040, resulting in roughly 80M new STEM workers, and then decline due to falling fertility, CF. The US has a total of 16M graduates. Global R&D spending is currently roughly $1T, and this might double if GDP more than doubles. Until 2015, the percentage of GDP spent on R&D was roughly constant at roughly 2%, but it's now 2.5%. Even if returns to research diminish and new ideas are getting harder to find, more funding might still speed up research effectively. Doubling the number of workers also increases the rate of idea production, and thus innovation. The non-rivalry of ideas means that someone can use an idea without impinging on someone else's use of that idea. For example, your use of the chain rule doesn't prevent other people from using the chain rule. And so for R&D, doubling the inputs to production more than doubles output, as we adopt innovations created by others. Surprisingly, this effect is very large even if new ideas are getting much harder to find. A recent Epoch report argues that the mid-20th century economic slowdown follows from the standard economic growth model and the demographic transition, which decoupled population growth from economic growth, leading to declining fertility and growth rates. In contrast, AI workforces can expand rapidly, as hardware manufacturing is not constrained like human population growth, and software can be copied cheaply, which allows the population of AI workers to grow and innovate at the same time. Unless AI-driven growth is slowed, AI labor might increase the speed of growth a lot until physical bottlenecks stop this at very high levels of growth by current standards. The three main first-order inputs for AI progress are 1. Training data. 2. Compute. 3. Algorithmic efficiency. Doubling the global research force will likely mean more scientists and research engineers working on improving algorithmic efficiency and driving down prices for compute. Globally, roughly 2% of world GDP, or roughly $2.4 trillion a year, will be spent on all R&D, roughly 20% is spent on basic R&D, which has increased over time. As a rule, the richer the country, the higher the share of GDP it spends on R&D. For instance, US R&D is 3% of GDP. The EU aims to increase combined public and private investment in R&D to 3.5% of GDP by 2025. The UK wants to increase it to 2.4% of GDP by 2027. See Roadmap. NATO spends more than half of the roughly $2 trillion spent on the military globally. NATO countries have agreed to spend 2% of GDP on defence by 2024. At least 20% of the 2% target should be spent on major equipment, including related military R&D. These international agreements are pegged to GDP. This means that their budgets, for example military, research, are coupled so that they increase in lockstep with GDP. If we grow GDP, which economies optimize for, we automatically increase these budgets, which creates risks from emerging technologies like synthetic biology and AI. These dynamics are relevant to the principle of differential technological development. Subheading: Will growth slow? Before the Industrial Revolution, it took many centuries for the world economy to double in size. Now it doubles every 25 years. Over the last 50 years, global GDP per person grew by 2% a year, and all major geographic areas are experiencing significant growth. Growth economists surveyed thought that this trend would stay broadly the same, at 2.1% a year. World GDP growth seems to be slowing down from roughly 5% per year in the 1960s, to roughly 4% in the 70s, to roughly 3% in 80s, 90s, noughties, to roughly 2.5% in the 2010s. I naively extrapolated this trend and found roughly 2% in 2030 and 1% in 2050. This trend might continue, albeit more gradually. By 2027, GDP per cap growth in the median-rich country will be less than 1.5% a year. In some countries, such as Canada and Switzerland, it might be roughly 0%. Forecasts predict that growth will continue to slow for structural reasons such as aging populations, shifts from goods to services, slowing innovation, and debt. It might also be because scientific progress is slowing. IT-related productivity increases explain 75% of all recent US productivity growth, with similar results globally. While IT, new tech, and an interconnected world may accelerate growth further, the effect might not be so huge. True, while big ideas advance the knowledge frontier, which transformed the West from 1870 to 1970, now growth has slowed, cf. The Great Stagnation, and progress is harder with fewer low-hanging fruits, more complex knowledge and societal stagnation. But even if GDP percentage growth slows, well-being growth can still speed up, for two reasons. 1. The dollar GDP per capita growth rate goes up. Even if we adjust for inflation, Americans had roughly $600 more every year in the 60s, but now have roughly $900 more per year in the 2010s. 2. The next $1,000 per cap increase in a country at $10,000 per cap is worth only one-tenth as much as in a country with $100,000 per cap, because the utility gained from increasing consumption from $1,000 to $10,000 is much greater than the utility gained from increasing consumption from $11,000 to $20,000, even though the absolute dollar amounts are the same. As more countries experience catch-up growth and lift large populations out of poverty, the total utility experienced by the world's population could increase a lot, even if the overall rate of global growth slows, since utility gains from improving living standards at lower levels of income are much larger than the utility gains from equivalent absolute increases at higher levels of income. Heading. Methods. Spreadsheet here. I used three datasets for this analysis. PwC's 2017 Simplified Solo Growth Model, Gapminder's 2021 model, and Goldman Sachs' 2022 model. 1. The main source is PwC's 2017 Simplified Solo Growth Model, which takes into account demographics, human capital like education, growth in the physical capital stock, and technological progress, which drives improvements in total factor productivity, TFP, adjusted, TFP roughly gauges if we get more efficient and not just use more labor. 2. Gapminder's 2021 model uses IMF forecasts until 2026, and then assumes that all countries converge to a common global growth rate of 2% per year. Correlations between their forecasts and PwC's are high, greater than 0.9, but with some differences. For example, Gapminder estimates that in 2050 India's GDP will be $28 trillion, with a GDP cap of $17,000, while PwC's model estimates $44 trillion, $26,000. In the last column in the spreadsheet, I averaged the two models for 2050. 3. Goldman Sachs 2022 model uses a simple Cobb-Douglas model to estimate real GDP per capita. Correlations between this model and the previous two are high, greater than 0.9. But what jumps out is that real GDP growth lags quite far behind PPP adjusted growth. For instance, China's real GDP cap in 2050 is only $25,000 compared to $43,000 PPP adjusted, similar to Japan's today, which isn't even as high as Korea's today, $29,000. Put differently, the difference between real and PPP adjusted GDP cap means that, for instance, for China, its population in 2050 might have a similar quality of life to Japan's today, but even by 2050, they might not be able to afford as many imports as Koreans today. Subheading: Persistence of Growth. As always, note that these models are very crude and should not be taken literally, but they're preferable to leaving our assumptions about the future unarticulated, fuzzy, and vague. It is better to be wrong than vague, and to state explicit assumptions that can be questioned and falsified, as the common aphorisms in statistics go, truth will sooner come out of error than from confusion. All models are wrong, but some are useful. You're not even wrong, it is better to be roughly right. Then precisely wrong, better clear than clever, etc. So, our models might be off, but they help us think through relevant considerations and formalize our intuitions. This very much applies here, since these models will very likely be off. Some argue that it's hard to forecast GDP and population growth, despite knowing all essential variables. But others show that, strikingly, some growth might be surprisingly persistent. In many rich countries, GDP cap from 100 years ago predicts GDP cap today well within a few percentage points, as average growth is usually roughly 2%. Relatedly, even though GDP doesn't measure welfare perfectly, it is one of the best predictors of welfare. See also further links on GDP as a proxy for welfare below. Heading: Future Research. Here are some research questions in this area that might be useful. Here's a list of bullet points. Improve GDP forecasts, perhaps using machine learning in Google Sheet to project GDP data and IMF forecasts from here. Create, or scrape, the database of forecasts from the academic and grey literature that say by 2050, X, for example China's GDP, will be Y, and then feed them into current models that predict Z based on X, to see what Z values are at 2050. Many countries optimize quite hard for GDP growth. Can this optimize long-term expected global welfare? CF, of the comprehensive macroeconomic indices already available to us, which serve best as proxies for long-term expected global welfare, INCL, but not limited to X risks considerations. What would be the broad policy implications of targeting such indices instead of GDP UCAP? Research GDP growth futures or GDP-linked bonds to discover market-based estimates of future GDP. Create Enrollment Act 2050. Forecast our world in data with these GDP forecasts. Review the literature on forecasts by 2050, for example, projection OR projected OR predicted OR estimated to be, and, by 2040, ORs by 2050, or use illicit for this. Review the degrowth debate. Very worryingly, anti-growth sentiment is rising a lot in OECD countries. There's an image here in the text. Textbooks. Intro to Modern Economic Growth by the most highly cited economist of recent decades. Intro to Economic Growth by Charles Jones and Dietrich Wollreth. Wollreth also wrote a popular book on growth. Fully Grown. Why a Stagnant Economy is a Sign of Success. More selected papers on growth by Jones and a talk of the past and future of economic growth. A semi-endogenous perspective and the facts of economic growth. Growth Theory Reading List. EA Forum. Syllabus on Economic Theory and Global Prioritization, which covers growth theory. Additive Growth. Marginal Revolution. Discussion on Thomas Philippon's paper on TFP growth being linear. EA Forum. Podcast. Can the economy grow indefinitely? Book. The Empty Planet on How Population Growth is Important for Growth. Keynote speech by Professor Lant Pritchett, Coping with Bad Shocks. Lessons from Growth Dynamics Slides. Coping with Bad Shocks. Lessons from Growth Dynamics. What is the elasticity of poverty in low- and middle-income countries, LMICs, with respect to rich world economies? Can economic growth continue over the long term? Why isn't the whole world rich? Patrick Collison's selection of quotes from papers on growth. The Industrial Revolution in Services. A note on GDP versus consumption maximizing growth. Our world in data, importance of economic growth. Weird GDP effects. If you move from a poor to a rich country and start a firm where you earn 10x more, GDP per capita will fall and welfare will rise in both countries. CF, median wages for all workers only rose 3% from 1980 to 2005, yet they rose 15% or more for each race sex subgroup. Because the relative group sizes changed. If we develop technology to make a product cheaper or free, GDP and GDP per capita will fall, for example Gmail, Wikipedia, freeware. GDP ECAP has a hard time accounting for the value of new and free goods in the digital economy. Also see, My Ordinary Life. Improvement since the 1990s times Gwern. How the world really works. The science behind how we got here and where we're going. In 1800, we needed 10 minutes of human labor to produce 1 kilogram of wheat, now it's 2 seconds. And we now use roughly 700x more energy than people in 1900. New products and long-term welfare. GDP growth is an imperfect measure of welfare. GDP, a brief but affectionate history, also on Audible. Challenges to mismeasurement explanations for the US productivity slowdown NBER. What do GDP growth curves really mean? Less wrong. Why we're very much richer than the GDP numbers tell us we are. Some data on improvements in quality of life give well. The Two Sides of Chinese GDP by Nancy Chien. Project Syndicate. Is the world getting better or worse? 80,000 hours. Technology over the long run. Zoom out to see how dramatically the world can change within a lifetime. Evidence from 33 countries challenges the assumption of unlimited wants in most countries. More than half of the population believes that $1 to $10 million or less would be enough to achieve their ideal life, but a significant minority, 8 to 39%, want as much money as possible, suggesting unlimited wants. That's the end of the list. But how much economic growth is necessary to reduce global poverty substantially? Lots. There's an image here, described as Growth Needed to Reach Denmark. Heading. Appendix. Further reading. Subheading. The World in 2050. In 1996, McRae published The World in 2020. I only skimmed it, but it seems like it makes some good predictions, for example Brexit, working from home, video phones, online retail, though crucially it seems to underestimate how central the internet was going to be. Now, 25 years later, he just published The World in 2050. TLDR. 1. In 2050, two-thirds of the world's population will be middle class or rich. 2. Ideas will flow more from east to west. 3. The Anglosphere will become even more important. In 2050, the most populous countries on every continent will be English-speaking. Americas, US, Africa, Nigeria, Asia, India, Australia, Oceania, Europe. British Isles English-speaking countries will make up 40% of world GDP. 4. China, the world's largest economy, moves from aggression to cooperation because its population gets older. 5. The EU diverges into a core and a periphery. 6. India will become a great power but also face challenges, and its future is uncertain. 7. Africa will become more important, but finding jobs for its many young people will be its greatest challenge. 8. Globalization changes its direction from moving goods to moving ideas and money. 9. New technologies will change our lives again. 10. A more harmonious relationship between humankind and our planet will arise. We'll grow sustainably. Subheading: Economics. Subheading: GDP as a proxy for welfare. Subheading: AI. Here's a list of bullet points. Explosive growth from AI automation. A review of the arguments. Economic growth under transformative AI. The simple macroeconomics of AI by Darren Acemoglu. PwC's global artificial intelligence study. Sizing the prize. Could advanced AI drive explosive economic growth? Open philanthropy. Productivity gains could propel the AI software market to $14 trillion by 2030, ARK Invest. Why transformative AI is really, really hard to achieve. The great inflection? A debate about AI and explosive growth, asterisk. A slow takeoff, you might still look fast. 80K podcasts. Michael Webb on whether AI will soon cause job loss, lower incomes, and higher inequality, or the opposite. Ian Morris on whether deep history says we're heading for an intelligence explosion. Generally, GDP seems to be the most important thing to forecast, but forecasters rarely highlight its central importance. Metaculous predictions. Monetary policy in 2050. The 2050 Project. World GDP in 2028. $1.14 trillion. China to USA GDP ratio in 2050 is currently at 1.34, the table above predicts 1.55. Forecasting our world in data metaculous. How many people will be living in liberal democracies in the world in the following years? GDP growth has averaged 0.6 ppp weaker than we expected in 2011 by Goldman. Visualizing the $94 trillion world economy in one chart. GWP doubles in 8 years versus 2 years by 2050 metaculous. Future indices. How crowd forecasting can inform the big picture. How feasible is long-range forecasting? Open philanthropy. Will genetic engineering raise IQ by at least 10 points by 2050? 55%. Will synthetic bioweapons infect at least 100 people by 2030? When carbon capture will cost less than $50 per ton? How many gene-edited babies will be born by 2030? This Can't Go On looks at economic growth and scientific advancement over the course of human history. Over the last few generations, growth has been pretty steady. But zooming out to a longer time frame, it seems that growth has greatly accelerated recently, is near its historical high point, and is faster than it can be for all that much longer. There aren't enough atoms in the galaxy to sustain this rate of growth for even another 10,000 years. McCaskill on population forecasting: by 2100, Nigeria's population will grow to 791 million, Volset et al., 2020, and India's 1.09 billion people will outnumber China's 732 million by almost 50%, Volset et al., 2020. The forecast for Nigeria is highly sensitive to the assumed pace of progress in female educational attainment and access to contraceptives. The Volset et al. Forecasts are available online at VizHub Population Forecasting. Forecasting life expectancy, years of life lost, and all-cause and cause-specific mortality for 250 causes of death. Reference and alternative scenarios for 2016 to 40 for 195 countries and territories. The Lancet. simulating GWP trajectories to share. Dotipimp. Collaboratory. 2022 AI Expert Survey Results. EA Forum. 2030, How Today's Biggest Trends Will Collide and Reshape the Future of Everything, Kindle Edition. Predictions for 2050. Black Swan Edition. Security 2040 RAND. Imperial Tech Foresight. Africa 2050, Oxford University Press. Future Forecasts on Wikipedia. Interesting article with some concrete forecasts for 2050. The Boring Timeline: The World in 2072. Aging Population. The Will to Battle, 2017, by Ada Palmer. Review, sensational. Palmer starts in an Enlightenment utopia, post-war, post-nationalism, post-scarcity, post-gender, post-theocracy, post-fideism, post-meat, post-capital punishment, post-nuclear family, general justice via universal voluntary surveillance, and then shows what the tensions will do to any system that has to handle humans as we are. Headbirths. Or, The Germans Are Dying Out, Literature Nobel laureate Günter Grass starts this novel by vividly painting a satirical picture of how crazy the world might look like if Germany had the population of China and if the world could bear it. Announcing the winners of Post Prize No. 1. The World in 2072. Here are the finalists from FLI's $100,000 World Building Contest. EA Forum. Sci-fi short stories about AI 2041. That's the end of the list. Subheading. Forecasting. Subheading. Fiction. Heading. Appendix. Causal model between growth, liberal democracy, human capital, peace, and X-risk. Below I have a rough and unfinished conceptual dynamic causal model between growth, liberal democracy, human capital, peace, and X-risk that summarizes the evidence for their relationships. Subheading. Economic growth causes. 1. Growth causes peace. 2. Growth causes stability. Growth shocks predict violent conflict in a country. 3. Does growth cause democracy? A. Growth causes dedication to democracy, greater opportunity, tolerance of diversity, social mobility, commitment to fairness. B. Historically the effect was large, but today the richest autocracies are 2x the chance to democratize as the poorest countries, 2% versus 4% per year. C. Another paper says the evidence is mixed. D. The Wikipedia on democracy and economic growth. 4. Growth causes existential security. Subheading. Democracy causes. 1. Democracy causes peace and stability. A democratic peace, the idea that democracies rarely fight one another, has been called the closest thing we have to an empirical law in the study of international relations, and the relationship is roughly 5x to as robust as that between smoking and lung cancer. B. Does democracy bring international and domestic peace and security? 2. Democracy causes growth, 1/3 the effect of human capital. A. Democracy and economic growth. A literature review. The paper examines channels through which democracy could affect growth. B. Does democracy cause economic growth, stability, and work for the poor? 3. Human capital. A. Does democracy increase global health? B. Does democracy cause work for the poor? 4. Existential security. A. Does democracy cause stability? B. Do democracies perform better combating climate change? 5. Democracy. A. Successful, democracies breed their own support. B. Are democracies better for social protection of the poor, gender equality, and social cohesion? C. Chance of conflict declines by roughly 1% points with 1 SD decline in high fertility, roughly 2 births per woman. 1 SD increase in low secondary education decreases the chance of conflict by about roughly 1 percentage points, while 1 SD increase in high secondary education decreases conflict by roughly 1% points. These represent relatively sizable marginal effects considering that the average chance of dyadic conflict is roughly 3%. 1 SD change in the human capital composite variable, low or high, is about 2x as large as the effect of 1 SD change in low democracy. 6. Peace causes growth. Civil War reduces annual growth by 0.01 to 0.13 percentage points, and high-intensity interstate conflict reduces annual growth by 0.18 to 2.77 percentage points. 7. Peace does not cause democracy, citation trail. Subheading: Human capital causes. 1. Human capital causes growth, 3x effect size of democracy. 8. Increasing the tax rate on human capital income from 50% to 55% reduces the total stock of working human capital by 5% and the growth rate by 6%. After 30 years, this results in 3.8% lower GDP. Beat strong evidence of a significant positive long-run effect of both public and private R&D on TFP and of a greater effect of public R&D than private R&D. 2. Human capital causes peace. Subheading: Peace and stability causes. Note that everything is correlated, and an in-depth evidence review of does X cause Y argues that we ultimately need to choose between A, believing some overly complicated theory of the relationship between X and Y, which reconciles all of the widely conflicting and often implausible things we're seeing in the studies, B, more or less reverting to what we would have guessed about the relationship between X and Y in the absence of any research. This article was narrated by Type 3 Audio for the Effective Altruism Forum. It was first published on May 6, 2024. The original text contained 79 footnotes, which were omitted from the narration. To report an issue or give feedback on this narration, go to t3a.is.